And now it's time for Crocheting with Ron. Wait, that can't be right. Now it's time for Okay. Now it's time for Crotchety Old Ron. That makes much more sense. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, whatever.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. How you doing? Good to be with you. Thank you so much. Sit down. Stop it. What do you want? What do you want now? All right, you ready to meditate? Yeah, at the beginning of the show now, I'm going to be meditating. Because life is so stressful. It really is. I find it to be quite stressful. So I need to meditate like every 6 minutes. This is my new thing. It's my mantra. So are you ready? Okay, all right, relax. Relax. Ready? Here we go. All right. Let's meditate.
Shut up!
I love that. Let's meditate more.
Shut up!
Okay. Done. I am cleared and refreshed. Meditation to me is like the colonoscopy of the brain. I lie down on a bed, face up. Don't get crazy now. And I listen to some very gentle background music, like my theme song. And I clear my head with a multitude of drugs. And then I can meditate. I was speaking to a friend yesterday, and I want to, of course, whenever I use the term friend, it's not the Facebook kind, the kind that I don't know who lives in another country, not them. But an actual friend, which I really don't have. And I use the word friend in air quotes. You can't see the air quotes, but I'm doing them now. They're like bunny ears. But I was speaking to a friend, or let's call the person someone whom I've heard of before. And I was speaking to her, and she tells me that she meditates every day, and this is her newfound secret of a stressful relief. And I responded by saying, well, stressful relief is not talking to you. So, bye. I didn't say it out loud. But she meditates a lot. And I said, well, I envy you, not because of your riches and the fact that you have enough money to go out to eat a lot, but I envy you because you are able to clear your mind. I have terrific trouble in clearing my mind. Sometimes I'll shout at myself and I'll say, hey, let's clear this up. But it doesn't work. Nothing clears my mind. Except maybe, no, not even that. So I'm unable to meditate. I'm meditate restrictive. Then I tried eating yogurt. Apparently that is supposed to calm you down. And then somebody told me, no, Ron, it's not yogurt, it's yoga. And I said, oh, God, I've been doing this wrong. I've been eating a lot of yogurt. No, it's yoga. You sit in a position that you can't get up from. You see, you reach a certain age, yoga's wonderful, because if you can twist yourself into a pretzel and stand up by just using your knuckles, then I guess you're agile enough to do yoga. But once you reach a certain age, which is kind of like 40, you can't get up anymore without help. And there's nothing more embarrassing than after a yoga class saying, "Help here, I need help, please. Help getting up, please." That's embarrassing. So nothing seems to work. Anyway, there's your introduction to the program. Thanks for being here. How are you? Good to be with you. I have a guest coming up at the end of the show, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know what the hell's going on, quite obviously. I really don't. Man. What day of the week is this again, please, quickly? Is it Wednesday again? Wasn't it Wednesday just last week? What is it with this Wednesday thing? Yeah, it's the hump day. It's the hump day. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yep, I don't know either. Makes no sense to me. Nothing makes any sense to me anymore. Used to. Now, everything used to make sense to me. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Now it's like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense now. Nothing at all. Nothing in the very least at all makes any sense whatsoever. It's odd. I think my memory is starting to go. I think when you get older, you start losing your brain cells. I used to just lose my keys. Now I'm losing my brain cells, apparently. I don't have as many as I had yesterday. And these brain cells are apparently have information in them, which now is lost forever. That's why I write everything down. My mother used to, it's such a sign of problems. I've reached that point, I must say. My mother wrote everything down when she got elderly. If I told her how to do something, she'd say, wait a minute, and she would get a pencil and a paper and she would write it down. This was before there were, computers. There were computers, but, you know, not really. Anyway, she would write it down. And if there were computers, she would not understand how to use them. So she would have to write down how to use the computer. So it wouldn't make any sense. But she wrote everything down. And now I'm finding, if I don't write it down, I ain't going to remember it. Sometimes I'll be driving in my car or something like that or doing something during the day. I don't know why I'm doing a sudden accident all of a sudden. And I would think of this incredible idea for the show. And then I go, well, this is incredible. I won't forget this idea. This is like one incredible idea. Then I get home and I have no concept as to what I was thinking about and what wonderful idea it was. I can't remember it. Need to write it down. It's incredible how that happens. I've talked about this before. There's this woman named Mary Lou Henner. Are you familiar with her? She played the character of Elaine, not on Seinfeld, but on a Taxi. It was a comedy with Judd Hirsch, Danny DeVito. And she played one of the taxi drivers. She was the only female character. Got to have a female character in the show, otherwise nothing makes sense. There's no sexual innuendos. You got to have sexual innuendos in a comedy show. You got to. She has a talent, and she still has that talent. She's had it all her life. And I interviewed her once about this. She remembers everything, and I mean everything. And I don't mean that just in a very passive sense. I mean everything. If you said to her, what did you have for dinner on July 12th, 1879, I don't know how old she is. I mean, she would say, spaghetti and meatballs. How would you know? I don't know, she says. I recall everything. And I thought, oh, that's like incredibly impressive. Your brain must be like explosively superhuman. She says, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'm not the only one that has this. I mean, there are quite a few people that have this. It is something that we cannot explain, but I can remember when I did what I did on any given day at any given time. I remember everything. And I said, well, I certainly don't want to piss you off because you'll never forget that. I mean, you'll hold that against me the rest of my life. And she laughed. She tittered somewhat. And we finished the interview, and I didn't ask her this, but after the fact, I thought to myself, oh my God, I think this is a curse. I thought at first, wouldn't it be incredible to have the brain and the memory of remembering everything that happened? You could refer to it. You could learn it. You could. But then I thought, oh my God, like everything else, there's a downside. What if you go through some type of horrible tragedy or horrible experience and you can recall it immediately? That wouldn't be good. As much as you can relive the good times by remembering the good times and the good feelings, you can also remember the horrible times, the devastations, the heartbreak. And that's when I realized that's what the internet is. It's wonderful, and it's also horrendously horrible. It has advanced society, and it's destroyed society. It's made information available to us 24/7. Downside? It's made information available to us 24/7. The same thing is also a downside. I can get information immediately. Also, I can be hacked immediately and lose my personal identity immediately. The internet brings us all together. All of us, we can all contact each other en masse anytime we want. Downside, we can set up groups, conspiracy theories, spread negativity, spread anger. In the click of a fingers, it can be done. It can join us together and unite us. It can tear us apart and divide us. In the extremes, it's the good and the bad. It's like marriage, right? Am I true? Am I saying things that make any sense to you? Are you even still there? Hello, Betty. I don't know who Betty is. I'm using her as an example. I don't know anybody named Betty, by the way. Betty White. You know, she's passed away, but it's Betty. I don't know. There's Betty Boop. Yeah, I know. Some of you don't understand what that is. That was a cartoon character before you were born, way before you were born. No reason for you to know who that was. Don't worry about it. I don't know any other Bettys. I just don't. I don't think people name their children Betty anymore. If your name is Betty, okay, fine, whatever. Not a big deal. I'm just saying there aren't a lot of you left. And not a lot of new Bettys coming around. Not a Betty. Not a Betty thing. Anyway, I don't even know how. Why. See, you see, I don't even know why I started talking about Betty. It's because I called you Betty to see if you were awake. You're all Bettys to me. Yeah, so yeah, it's the good and the bad and the good of everything. It's like marriage is what I was saying. It's wonderful to have a spouse, a partner, someone to enjoy all your experiences with, to share life together, life's moments. Have sex every once in a while without having to pay for it, or at least not in that way. It's good to have someone around, boyfriend, girlfriend living together, fine. Upside. Downside, all the things I just mentioned. No freedom. You can't do anything without checking with the other person. All the anger is taken out on you. You can't say what you really feel. You can't really do what you want to do at any given time. You have to get permission. Everything has to be in unison. You can't do anymore. You can't date anymore. You have to, if the other person doesn't want to do it, I guess you're not going to do it either. Otherwise, you have to do it by yourself. Then you're going to pay for that in the end because you did it by yourself and you're going to get complaints about it. I mean, there are downsides to it as well. You know what a successful marriage is? Understanding that. That's what a successful marriage is. Unsuccessful marriage, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I can't even look at their face anymore. That's the downside. That's the destruction of a marriage. Success of a marriage, just shut up. Just shut up. Just shut up. Just shut up.
Shut up!
And that goes for the ladies too.
Shut up!
I think I played those backwards actually. That's what it is. Success is tolerance. It's like the debt ceiling. Look up. See the debt ceiling? That's a big deal today. Congress is going to vote on the debt ceiling. At least the House will. The House and the House. We're in the House. Debt ceiling in the House. You know who raised, who spent more government money than any president? Donald Trump raised the debt ceiling while he was president three times. Because he just spent, and Republicans said nothing about it. They kissed his ass as he was spending money and raising the debt ceiling. Republicans didn't have a problem with that. Now, Biden is the president, spending less than Trump did, and he's getting hell now because he wants to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on? That's why nothing makes sense. But in raising the debt ceiling, President Biden and Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, whom I thought was a puppet, not only literally, but also there was, it was Charlie McCarthy. That was like a dummy act. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Edgar Bergen's daughter, of course, Candace Bergen, which some of you don't even know who she is. In any event, they got together, Speaker of the House and the President, and they, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, quite obviously, and they found middle ground, and they're both happy with it. So the debt ceiling can be raised, but spending goes down a little bit now in order to make everybody look okay. But that's what life is. It's negotiation. As soon as there's one other person on the planet, you need to negotiate. You need to compromise. If you don't understand the word compromise, then nothing's going to work out for you. Nothing. Compromise. You don't walk away with everything you want. You walk away with some of the things that you wanted. Compromise. And the sooner this country and individuals understand that theory, the better off we would be. Compromise, the word of the day. It works. It's necessary in order to keep things cool. And I want to keep things cool, don't you? I know you do. I know you do. You're a cool person. I've seen you wearing sunglasses. Nothing makes anybody look cooler than sunglasses. Have you noticed that? When you see somebody in sunglasses, your only opinion is, that person's cool. Right off the bat. You can be a schmuck. He or she can be a schmuck. But if they're wearing sunglasses, oh, that's cool. Look, they look cool. So, bottom line, wear sunglasses. What else to tell you? I have a guest coming up on today's show. I hope I've educated you to some extent. Probably not. I've stopped trying. I'm just... You know, when you stop trying, it's all over? It's not all over. Just keep stop trying. Okay. Right back after this commercial break. Yeah.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. the gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Dr. Ian Giamenco joins us now. He's lead research meteorologist at Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. And Michael Richmond Krem joins us. He's director of personal lines and counsel at American Property Casualty Insurance Association. You must have very, very large business cards. Okay. Here we go. We're talking about hurricane season, which I guess is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. June 1st is the start of hurricane season. But some of the things we're going to talk about around, you know, things you can do to your home also apply to things like just your normal severe thunderstorms that we see every spring. So, yeah, June 1st, start of hurricane season, and can't believe it's already here.
Yes, I can't believe anything's here, to be honest with you. Everything's moving pretty quickly. You know what's impactful here in our conversation today, besides hurricane season, is that the storms seem to be getting more intense. And the more that happens, the more damage can be done, and the more heartache and cost you can incur. But it seems to me, and tell me if you agree, that the fact is that these things are getting more intense.
Yeah, that's the one thing, especially in the Atlantic, that we've seen is a run of certainly stronger storms. There's a couple other factors that are at play, too. We're seeing larger, come out of more slow-moving storms that have a lot more water with them, so kind of exacerbates the flood problem. We're also seeing hurricanes maintain themselves, you know, further and further north, and that's a direct kind of climate signal there as our oceans warm. Fiona last year was a really good example of that, kind of a close call for us in New England, but also that was a big impactful event for folks in Nova Scotia and Canada. So you're seeing this all kind of balled up and coming at us at one time. So, Ron, you're right. You know, as these storms kind of change their character, we have to adapt with them and make sure that we don't become kind of a victim of that cycle of damage and disruption, displacement that we see far too often.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly places in this country, certainly, that are more prone to weather-related catastrophes. Tornadoes have been pretty heavy in the Midwest this particular, let's call spring season. I don't know, late winter. I mean, some incredibly horrible things. And, of course, Florida is always sticking out there like a sore thumb. I mean, the intensity everywhere is a little bit worse. And then, as you say, it stretches into areas that didn't used to get it that bad.
Yeah, that's kind of been the MO. And this year, from a severe weather perspective, yeah, we started with the southeast, moved into the middle of the country.
Yeah.
And we've even seen, you know, saw a couple of Florida hailstorms, which is not really that common.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be our turn in the northeast as we head into June and July, just as, you know, we would normally see.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw on top a hurricane season where kind of have a couple of competing factors. We got an Atlantic Ocean that's really kind of uber warm right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a developing El Nino in the Pacific, which can actually act to kind of reduce our hurricane activity in the Atlantic. So we're going to see which one wins out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe our 2023 climate grudge match there between the Atlantic water temps and El Nino.
Yeah. Well, in one sense, anything that brings rain anywhere is probably good. But that's
very true too. So, and unfortunately, a lot of times the droughts we see end in floods. So,
yeah,
there's where it's always a good reason to stay weather aware.
That's true. Yeah. When the ground gets, too hard, everything just runs off into some other catastrophes. So it begs the question, what kind of insurance do I have? I mean, I guess if you're in a floodplain area, you're pretty aware of what's going on, but if you're not, you might wonder if your insurance is good enough, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, it's not always a good idea to make or to take for granted that you've got everything covered. You kind of want to, especially here at the beginning of hurricane season, take out your policy and review it, make sure that you've got that coverage that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the pain points we always kind of see year over year, unfortunately, is that a lot of people sort of confuse homeowners insurance with flood insurance. They're actually two separate forms of insurance. So if you live in a flood zone, you've probably been given that warning and you're probably aware of it, but you may not actually, you know, you may not have enough of it, or you may not be aware of it. You want to make sure that, you know, your policy coverage matches up with your risk. And it's also important to remember, especially when it comes to flood insurance, just because you're in a flood zone doesn't necessarily mean you don't need it. You know, there's an old axiom that says where it rains, it floods. And so even if you're not designated in that flood zone, you want to take a look and see if, you know, there's a history of flooding in the area. Yeah. And you want to take an opportunity to check to see if you need that coverage.
Well, you know, it's almost, I liken it to auto insurance and not understanding what's really being covered, because people don't want to pay a lot in insurance for anything because they don't immediately realize any benefit to it. So they try to cheap it down to the what's required by law almost. And in auto insurance, that's kind of the case. And then when these accidents happen, you're out a lot of bucks because it didn't cover it. Kind of the same with home insurance?
Yeah, it's sort of similar. You kind of got that kitchen table component to evaluating the costs you want to pay up front. So you may want a higher deductible, which will lower your premiums. But that unfortunately means that if there is a major loss, you're going to have to pay a little more up front.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a question for that kitchen table conversation, where you want to spend the money for the coverage. But, you know, as you know, we've been discussing, maybe you take some opportunity to look at your property and make some updates or repairs, kind of insulate it from those damages, and maybe that'll affect your premiums. And you know, if you can do that, that's great. It'll help drive those costs down.
Here's a general question. When you have a storm like a hurricane and your roof starts leaking because of the extreme amount of moisture that's involved here, is that generally covered by home insurance, or do you have to have like something special for that type of leakage in a house?
Yeah, that's generally going to be covered under your homeowner's policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it always depends to a certain degree as to how that homeowner's policy is written. With businesses, you know, it can be a little more complicated. Business insurance tends to be a little more tailored to the individual needs, and those premium calculations are a little more specific. But yeah, you should generally consider that to be part of your homeowner's coverage. But again, you know, take a moment, especially here at the beginning of hurricane season, take out the policy and look it over to make sure that it is. That really is one of the more significant areas that we see damage, particularly in hurricanes, because you get the shingles ripped off and you've sort of got that plywood, you know, possibly exposed, and the water kind of gets in there, and that's going to cause a lot of damage.
Okay. you make a good point to contact your insurance agent or the insurance company directly to ask these questions, because most of us just sit there and go, okay, whatever. But this is something, as you say, that should be reviewed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things that I think is really important is that when you're sort of getting prepared for these things, you want to sort of have that hurricane kit, and you want to, you know, include in there a copy of your insurance policy. You want the paperwork that's going to be, you're going to need after the fact, maybe, you know, sealed away in a Ziploc bag or something like that, something waterproof. You're also going to want to take the time to you know, download your company's app. Make sure that you've got accessibility to the company and that you can contact them after any damage.
Yeah, it's a good point. And yeah, it's a good time to review that stuff, obviously. I mean, you review your medical insurance every once in a while, and you know, this is kind of very similar to that. Insurance. but it's sometimes necessary, and very frequently you have to have it. Okay. Is there a place that we can go where we can get more general information? I'm sure people have specific questions about their situation.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick and turn over to Mike in a second. For those home improvement tips, some of the things we kind of chatted about there as we deal with extreme weather, disastersafety.org/hurricane-ready can find a lot of little tips, from some of the little things you can do around the house all the way to big projects like your roof and garage doors. You guys talked about water intrusion and shingles, so there's info there. You can also check out, we've got some thunderstorm ready material there as well. A lot of those great tips, again, anywhere from the small stuff to the big stuff, disastersafety.org is a great one-stop shop.
Yeah, and if you're additionally looking at, you know, making sure that you've got your checklist for insurance information, you can go to apci.org/hurricane, and that'll give you a series of resources that you can, you know, utilize to make sure that you're prepared. Yeah. Things like, you know, evaluating things like your flood insurance, or, you know, helps or tips to help you do a home inventory of your property.
Yeah.
You know, things like taking photos of them, and making sure that you've got all that information ready and ready to go.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, when the ground's too soft, the trees uproot. When the ground's too hard, things flood. It's God, you know, no more extremes, please. But that's where we're living these days, unfortunately. Okay. Gentlemen, you've had a lot of information, and thank you so much for putting it upon us. We appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Before we go, I have been told by my social media person that I need to beg you for likes, and I don't understand what I just said. Like me, follow me, lick me, touch me. The first two, the last two don't do that. Okay, good. I don't know if you're listening to this on Facebook or Pandora or Amazon Music or iHeart or TuneIn, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Joey's Fishery and Bait and Tackle Shop. I don't know where you are. But please do the like and the follow. Apparently that's important to the social media person who's running this thing. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I wish you peace. We'll be right back.